Jesus, that was loud.
Yeah, we all have his individual volume turned way down.
Yeah, I already had him turned down to 30, so.
I'm going to turn him super down.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So, hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Do you go by Senpai or Stefan Senpai on here?
I usually do Stefan Senpai.
Okay.
Senpai?
I heard you noticed them.
That is exactly how that happened.
Do you regret it?
I can neither confirm nor deny that my opinion on noticing them.
Welcome, Apropossi, and buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast with your hosts, James,
Jax,
and Stefan.
Woo! Different from the usual crowd. This is just a little light episode, a little aperitif as it becomes accent A. Thank you. As it becomes accent A, it's just a palate moistener in between regular episodes.
Can I leave? I wasn't told that
you
I was
are
going
always
to be
allowed.
You make yourself sad.
Happens often.
I don't know which is worse, palate moistener or whetting your appetite.
Whetting your appetite is whet.
Moistener is much worse.
Yeah, I would tend to agree, and not just because of the internet meme of it, and like the dead like
yeah.
of that being an unappealing word, but like. Palate moistener that's gross.
Moisturizer?
Like, okay, but what would I think of like lotion when we talk moisturizer?
Yeah, yes. Rubbing a little lotion in the roof of your mouth.
Okay, done.
Okay. Anyway, if we want to rinse the taste of that out of our mouths as everybody else does, what are we drinking? Senpai?
Just water.
Water? Yeah, that's a great choice on a day like today. Mm-hmm. It has been, I would usually say unseasonably warm, but this season has been really butt-ass for several years. And then, Jax, what are you drinking?
Not water. I have the remnants of a concrete mixer from Culver's that I mixed with the remnants of a latte that my stepmom brought me mixed with Kahlua.
Well,
nice.
You know what?
Not water.
Chocolate on coffee on chocolate on coffee.
Right. What else do you want from me?
I have sparkling water. I didn't even realize. This is Waterloo sparkling water. They tend to have, I think, better flavors than La Croix on most occasions. This one is their coconut lime cooler, which honestly is kind of great.
Well, I mean, Waterloo actually has flavor, whereas right. La Croix has the ghost of a flavor.
The rumor of a flavor hunting.
Mm-hmm. It truly is the now you see me, now you don't of flavor. Now you see me on the packaging, now you don't by tasting it.
Laura has flavor. Right, she's just in Canada. You don't know her.
She doesn't go here.
Oh, God. That's amazing. Sean Dutre, please write in to confirm. We're doing just a little happy, quick episode today because it is the start of the Fringe season. And as you may, astute listeners may have noticed that Salsa took a trip to Scotland. He's still there. He has not been...
is he coming back?
From the country. Well... maybe.
Rumor has it.
Right.
Yeah. I'm supposed to pick him up from the airport, so it's a firm maybe. Yeah. this may be a Tom Hanks situation. Great.
It's okay. You can take a breath and try again.
Yeah, I know that I can. I wanted to have two co-hosts for many reasons, for tradition, but also because you are fascinating individuals. Jax, I know that you are currently preparing for something. You had mentioned
that there is an
upcoming fundraiser, if you'd like to tell us about that.
Yeah, so have I come on and talked about Minprov before?
I believe you have, and yet people may not have heard those episodes.
Minprov is a nonprofit, and we use improv to help with the social skills of folks who are neurodivergent to whatever degree. And last year, about a year and a half ago, they had auditions for Minprov Live, which is a fully neurodivergent team on purpose. We did it on purpose, as opposed to every other improv team, right, which was just coincidence. Yeah, coincidence. We meant to do it. But we're fully neurodivergent, still trying to get our director to admit that he's also neurodivergent. God, I love Michael so much. He is ADHD. He is the improv guy that you think of when you think comedy sports, you know, lanky, kind of got a little bit of a comb over, you know, just like really dad jokes. You can kind of see his shoulders wiggle and the finger guns as he does it.
He's kind of like the tall white guy version of Phil Lamar's UPS delivery man.
Sure. Weirdly accurate.
Yeah.
That is weirdly accurate.
I remember it was like, we were like, yeah, we're all neurodivergent. Michael's like, well, I'm not. And we all just look at him.
Yes, it was a haunting, a haunting breeze. And a tumbleweed crossed the stage.
I truly can't stop myself from whenever he's like, oh, he does something just the most ADHD. And I look at him and I nod my head and go, yes, a totally neurotypical thing to do. He's coming around, but we're all neurodivergent. And we do an improv show, but the really special thing I think about this one is that, like, it's specifically for neurodivergent people. So we get to talk about the facts that, like, this game is difficult for me because XYZ, or like, it's the first place that really had me consistently as a wheelchair user. We have somebody who's legally blind. We've got somebody. And so, like, the most recent marketing pictures that we took, we did a hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. Dan is our member who's blind or half blind. And so when he was the see no evil, but he only covered up his good eye.
Mm-hmm. I've also, there have been a couple that we've attended where jokes come up.
Yeah.
when they were breaking into the bank vault and they needed someone for the retinal scan and they had him do it.
Right. Yeah. It was, we were talking about, like, you know, taking, it might kill you or it might blind you.
It might blind you.
And
yeah.
It might blind you. And so the discussion became, well, which eye do you use? Well, you use the bad one because then it's going to, it's okay anyway, you know, anyway. And whenever Michael says, you know, everybody's going to stand up by me, and then he can feel my gaze microwaving him on stage, and then he'll correct it. But it's a lot of fun. And because we're a nonprofit and we're grant run. We need help. So we have a fundraiser coming up. And hopefully a lot of times the fundraiser is it's for money. Yes. But oftentimes it's also like people come and they say, oh, I didn't realize that I could do improv, or, oh, hey, our business or my job would love to have a troupe of improvisers come and teach us about improv, or like, especially for schools or, care facilities and things like that. We can teach using our skills, but we also do like business, like, you know, a bank, corporate, whatever. We can, you know, go and teach them about inclusion. But anyway, thanks for letting me just kind of prattle on. I know that's not the point.
You're doing a great job.
Oh, thanks. Our event, our fundraiser is going to be Thursday, August 13th. And it's going to be at the Elysian Playhouse in Crystal. And it starts at 6:30 p.m. And like last year, there was ice cream. And like there's some of our board members are going to come and play with us. So some of them are professional improvisers and some are not. So you get to come and see all of it. So come by. Really excited to see you guys there. But besides that, our shows are every first Wednesday of the month at the Hive Collaborative. If you're interested, you can go to www.minprov.org, MNPROV.org. Back to you, James and Stefan.
Well, yeah, I just to give support to, you know, just how really funny your troupe is that, you know, James invited me and some of our other friends to come and see you back in March at the Hive, which I was surprised to learn while we were there that it was your 1 year anniversary of being at the Hive, I believe.
Just existing.
Together as a troupe.
All right, right. Yeah, but no, it was a fantastic show. And it's so many I didn't know there were so many left turns that you could take.
yeah.
Things.
We have one castmate in particular, Grace. She is phenomenal. She has downs, and so like we'll be doing something and she'll be really chill and cool and everything, and then all of a sudden she'll, you know, we're in the park, we're with puppies, and they ask the puppy's name, and she'll say something like, oh, it doesn't matter, he'll be dead tomorrow anyways.
Yeah.
And we're like,
she's a left turn specialist. She's a comedy sniper. Yeah,
she truly is. And it's beautiful. So the left turns, I'm guessing some were from Grace specifically.
Oh yes.
And I think the one that you went to was the like the retinal scan one where Dan was like, oh, what, pick the blind guy, the half blind guy, you know.
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So please come by for the fundraiser and or for our shows that we've got going on.
Both
is good.
4K. No low dose. It is settled law on the podcast. 4K no low dose. Excellent. And we'll have links to that in the show notes.
Yeah. Well, I should ask, Stefan, have you done improv, like improv class or improv like for fun or anything?
Not in an incredibly long time. I think when I was like 11, there was a summer camp thing that had an improv class over in a community center near Lake Calhoun, I think. Our finale performance was, you know, thinking back to it, it's like, oh Lord, that was awful. You know, it's like, this was definitely the minds of preteens doing that.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I've podcasted with you. I know how this goes.
Mm-hmm.
We have a teen a teen summer camp that went twice this year. And I got to go and see one of the performances because I had referred a couple of my friend's kids to it. And so I went and I got to see the performance of these all neurodivergent, like preteen to teenagers. And it's beautiful. 10 out of 10 recommend. Just nice. Seeing the yes and also mm-hmm. battling the no but that is teenagehood is hilarious. Would you go to a class if I sent you the link to one, Stefan? Would you want to do that? And we're on apropos of nothing, so you don't have to lie.
Yeah.
You can say fuck that shit. Like
you can also say I mean, got a kid.
Yeah, I was gonna say possibly. I've considered it, but I've never really wanted to go in on some of the bigger name
workshops
class. Yeah, workshops. Mm-hmm. But yeah, an improv class could be interesting.
And
as James alluded to, yes, I do have a child. And
yes, how are they?
He is doing pretty good.
Yeah, Kohai.
Yep, Kohai is gonna turn 4 in.
That's crazy.
Just over a week. And so we have.
He's already 4.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wild.
Yeah, he's speaking in full sentences. He has like his own opinion about various things. It's just really interesting.
What does he think of the Nintendo Switch as a platform and the direction that Nintendo's taking as a company?
He doesn't like them.
Oh,
really? Wait, actually,
I've heard that is a very usual
gamer
for.
Very yeah. totally normal and totally, totally cool, totally normal.
Or undeveloped frontal
totally.
Lobe. Yeah.
Yeah. The...
yeah. 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 So there's that. Stephen Senpai. What have you been up to?
What's your problem? A whole fuck ton of house stuff, basically. With not only just, you know, cleaning the house up for the party that we're going to have. In about a week and a half. Mm-hmm, yeah. The guest list is quite a lot, though it is, it is many, you know, friend couples and their children, but it's still, you know, the child to adult ratio is still more than 50%. So only slightly, but still more, you know, but yeah, so we're doing a whole bunch of, moving stuff around. And we're also moving things around in the house because for the first time, both of Mrs. Senpai's sisters are going to come and stay with us for the weekend.
Mrs. Senpai's sisters?
Yeah.
Sounds like it's from a K-drama of a Cinderella story where the Mrs. Senpai's sisters are like the two stepsisters that are just like Tweedledum and Tweedledoo.
But it's K-drama, so everyone's just gorgeous anyway.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
You don't have to confirm nor deny if they're like that.
Yeah, you don't have to say anything about your sister-in-law's.
Blink twice if you need help.
But yeah, if they do both come, one of them is uncertain because she's got a thing that might keep her from coming, but we'll know more sooner, closer to the time. But not necessarily a sad thing.
Oh, good.
We're basically last weekend we completely rearranged, I'm about 50% of the way through rearranging my home office so that we can have it more cozy for the younger sister-in-law. And then the older sister-in-law, the middle sister, would be coming with her daughter, who is about 7 months older than Kohai. And they would be staying down in Mrs. Senpai's office. So gotcha. we're moving things around for everybody and cleaning things up, getting rid of things. Right now we're actually, I'm impressed that it hasn't been too loud, but we currently are having a lot of tree work happening. We were supposed to have it on Friday, but we got a call yesterday from the tree company and they're like, well, there's supposed to be a big storm on Friday, so how about tomorrow?
Oh, jeez.
So I was like, sure. Sooner is good, but good. They arrived while I was at Kohai's preschool for his son, picking him up from summer camp. And so we came home and it's like, oh, look. Oh, the trucks that we were expecting earlier this afternoon. Oh, well. I'm impressed the chainsaws are not making it through the microphone. So
they're not.
They're I didn't not realize at all.
That was now. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Either your microphone sucks or Discord's noise cancellation is real good.
Well, or let's hope it's the latter.
Or your microphone is amazing. As to what I've been up to, we had been planning for quite a while to, speaking of house things, we had been planning for quite a while to get the jungle of the yard.
It was control. A literal forest with its own ecosystem. Truly, I feel bad we destroyed an entire ecosystem. But
we did. It was like Fern Gully, but the bad guy won.
So in a certain sense, you were saying you couldn't see the forest for the weeds?
Yes, absolutely. So accurate.
I was content to kind of take time and whittle away at it, but unfortunately, we got two letters from the city telling me no.
Not good enough.
We asked for some recommendations. A service was referred to us. They and a lot of the places that I had checked with, they were saying, we can make an appointment maybe next week, maybe in a week and a half in order to come and take a look at it. And then we would do the work in, basically. And, okay.
It's like, no, my timeline is a little more advanced.
Well, to be fair, if we had signed a contract with that company, even if it was for months later, then we could have protested. We could have shown the lawmakers, which would have been nice to like have some time to be like, okay, these are the plants that we want to keep, but that's okay.
As it happened,
we also just had it done, which is nice.
Yeah, a friend referred us to this super nice family, and
we should definitely give their business name and how to contact them, because they are a landscaping business and are phenomenal.
They are. They are both of those things.
But
they
continue. Are, in fact,
a phenomenal landscaping business.
Mm-hmm.
The name is, and I'm going to maybe mispronounce this, Makedo. M-A-C-E-D-O. Makedo?
I believe so. Macedo.
Macedo.
I think. I don't know.
Likely. I'm sure one of the three is a swear word. possibly. But they did a fantastic job. And not only did they do a fantastic job, they came to see us like the next day or the day after. And then that they would do it over the weekend. And then
they said Sunday.
Yeah, they said that they were going to stop by Sunday. And then they amended that and they were like, is it okay if we get some of it done on Friday? because we're a little bit ahead of schedule. And we're like, great, that sounds awesome. And then Sunday can just be knocked out because Sunday's weather is going to be bad.
Icky.
And it was. And then not only did they get it all done on Friday, but they got the entire thing done in like 2 hours. And it was more than just...
It was more than 2 hours, but because it was a lot.
Cutting everything down.
Impressive.
Yeah, we didn't want to just have somebody come in and, you know, mow it over and then
be done. Yeah.
Away and then leave a bunch of sharp wooden stalks sticking out of the ground that are just going to grow back. Which is what we had been doing. But instead, they actually, the three guys that were working on it actually like dug up everything that wasn't and disposed of it and everything like that, and I was shocked. And yeah, now we get to plant clover and knock on wood that'll take root and be good. We're very hopeful. We've got follow-up services with them in order to like continue doing some maintenance on it.
The wife is the like business portion of things, and she was she looked around because we were talking about, oh, these three plants were left because those were the ones that were pointed out and understood. Mm-hmm. Those were the ones, but there was one plant in the front that they left, and it was a tall plant with pink flowers. And she looks over, she's like, why did they leave that? And then she looks into our neighbor's yard and sees that it's the same plant. So whoever was pulling up the plants must have looked over and assumed that we wanted it there because it was in the neighbor's nice yard. And then tore up everything else around. It was just this little splash of color. I'm happy with it. Like, I love it. Yeah. But like, she was just like,
it looks great.
Guys, it was great. But they took a lot of care with it, and we're really sweet with like, hey, can we pay some of it right now and some of it and a little bit? And they're like, absolutely. Great
long care on layaway.
Yeah. When we say we had an ecosystem, we had a bumblebee nest that got disturbed because of it, like literally
it had just been suspended in the stalks of
oh wow,
like so like genuinely the fact that they just got it all out was incredible.
Yeah
That's cool.
But that's what's been going on for us. Rehearsals continue, and
morale improves.
Fringe,
ideally.
I'll Fringe. We did the Fringe preview last night, and the puppet that they have is incredible. We've got a series of like little puppets and offside puppet things that are happening, but like the big puppet for the show, the one in the title, the unicorn, is
the title puppet.
Fantastic.
The eponymous puppet.
Yes. I'm really looking forward to the show. Next Monday is, I think, tech for that. I'm not nervous at all about that. And then the week after that, we're going. I think it's like next Wednesday that everything starts, and then it runs for like 10 days. And I'll post the show schedule. We've got the note cards, so I'll post the show schedule. I know Jenna will also have pictures of note cards, and those will also be posted with the show links and everything like that. So if you are on the Discord, you can just check them out in general chat. And if you aren't in the Discord, get general chat. And if you aren't in the Discord, get in the fucking Discord. All right. So all of that being said, Salsa, who astute listeners may have noticed, is not here, but instead in Scotland.
Who?
Mm-hmm.
Never heard of him.
He's in Klingon. Has sent us a Fast Five.
Fast Five.
All right.
No, just me. Okay.
All right. So, let me see if I've got anything that will, like, yes. Okay. So, I'm gonna see if this comes across here. Did we hear this? Did we hear
that? No.
Okay.
Oh, there it is.
The second time. Okay.
Yeah. All right. So, Fast Five. Question number one.
Ding.
Yeah. old or new?
Old.
Old.
Yeah, I'd probably go old.
Yeah.
Yeah, all my a lot of the toys that I have are either old or styled after old designs. A lot of the games that I have are old, just because they're ones that I knew about that I never got to play when I was younger.
Oh,
so.
Sure. I've talked on the podcast about how I am catching up now on this entire world of old games that I missed out on when they...
You missed out on them less than the average person missed
that
out on them.
Deck tricks or what?
I will say.
nice. With RPGs and Pokemon and things like that, I either didn't have access to or didn't have the capability to play. Like, I just lacked the skill to be able to play and enjoy them. And now I'm finding it a lot easier. I've picked up the knack for it, and I'm having a great time. And there's such a back catalog to catch up on. So I'm going to say old. All right. So we have...
Now you just have to work on your quarter circle.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I'll have to get in some quarter circle practice. Is that three olds?
Yep.
I think so.
Three olds.
Does somebody have to say new?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
No. The more contrary co-hosts are absent this week. All right. Fast Five, question number two. rocks or fabrics?
Fabrics, because I'm a fiber artist.
I'm gonna say fabric, because I would rather have I would rather put down landscape fabric than rocks in between plantings in a bed, because rocks are the worst. Because once everything gets overgrown and you don't think that there are rocks and you dig down and suddenly there are rocks, you get very mad.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Recently so the way that I know that this is not the question, friends. Yeah. I know that this is not the question. Russia, they don't put down pavers on muddy paths, paths that you know get slick and squishy or anything like
muddy
that.
Muddy paths paver you?
That's very funny. That's exquisitely crafted, my love.
Did they just put down straw or what?
No, they put down old carpets.
Oh.
Like these beautiful, woven carpets that are just like, they're too worn. They're too...
That's a great idea.
Aged, or they've got a hole in them somewhere, or something like that.
Yeah.
Or they're unraveling, whatever, and they just lay them on the... But this is apparently not an entirely all of Russia thing. Now, all of Russia is fucking huge, so obviously...
That's bordering on reductive, but...
Yes, Yeah, but there are apparently places in Russia where it is very common that if you're out walking trails or things like that, that there's just going to be segments that are just lavishly carpeted. But as they probably, season goes on,
yeah, they probably get disappear.
They do. They slowly sink and become one with the mud. But this also kind of stabilizes the ground until the carpets disintegrate. But yeah, yep.
What a great idea!
Maybe we should do that. And it's also been recommended. Although, you know, who knows? But maybe not with like plastic carpet. But
I was going to say, synthetic fibers would probably be a bad idea.
Yeah, if you want to keep stuff from growing over an area that is like a path between your house and your garage or something like that, you can just bury carpet swatches.
Yeah, like, well, you were saying you wouldn't want to put the synthetic carpet there, but honestly, if you're putting concrete there instead of, like, pavers would be concrete.
Yeah.
Or could be, you know, whatever, but I don't, if the acrylic and plastic rugs are making a solid path, that's a solid path that you would have made with rocks anyway, or like with plastics anyway.
I think so. You might as well. I think the downside is as the carpet fibers fray or get worn, as the, you know, mud shifts around and things like that, it will break off the tiny little ends.
Oh, to be microplastics. And
create microplastics. It's possible.
Yeah, fair.
There is that. Although
you are not going to be able to find many rugs that are made without, like, aren't acrylic.
There is that.
It is not likely.
I think I may choose fabrics anyway because the photos of the carpets on paths in Russia are really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So I went fabrics. Senpai, you went
fabric. Fabrics. Yep, we're all fabrics again. We're of a like mind.
We're all fabrics. All right. Fast five. Question number three. High or low?
High.
High?
I had some THC earlier that helped with some panic stuff and some chronic illness stuff.
You were feeling low, and now you're feeling high.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
I would say low because while I don't know that I would necessarily say that I have a fear of heights, I have a fear of falling from a height.
Yeah.
That's anything that, being very high up and, you know, being like, you know, of the average, you know, Nordic height, which is a little taller than many other countries, a lot of railings are just about at waist level.
And remind me, you're extraordinarily Danish, right? Mm-hmm. You're so Danish that you are a staple for Sunday brunch. That's
honey.
He's so Danish.
Call me Hopeful.
With coffee. Great. I think I'm going to choose low because I like cool basements and tunnels and neat things like that. So I might choose that. Also, my bowling score is quite low, almost like maliciously low, as if I were cursed to throw absolute gutterball rocks my whole life. So there's that. I'll go low on that.
Ryan, too low.
I don't have a fear of heights or even really falling from them necessarily, but I do get that like base of the brain lizard tingle thing that happens, the call of the void.
Call of the void.
Yeah, I think that's actually the technical term. I should find out. What is the call of the void? I'm connecting.
You don't mean
series of tubes.
Those are just the urge intrusive to jump. Thoughts,
when
right?
When you have that, like you're looking, you're looking over the railing at the Grand Canyon, and you have that thing. Not even necessarily like an urge to jump, but you're like, what if I went over the edge? Not even necessarily how, but
just did.
Like, yeah. What if I was suddenly in midair? And mm-hmm. like, there's a little
a
bit
lot of
like,
Magnus jump. Archives around that.
That I think is where the thing comes from, the primal force that they discuss, the void.
Mm-hmm.
But scientifically, I think it's supposedly a holdover from when we were pre-dwelling, and it's like the instinctual urge to swing from and then jump from tree to tree is apparently linked to. I'm guessing that's a wild supposition on the part of science. And yet it makes a kind of sense. So, hard theory to test, I'll bet. So, we've got two lows and a high, was it?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Two lows and a high. All right.
I am the only one who has chosen something different from y'all so far.
Ooh, interloper. Oh, so fast five. Question number four. Hide or wool?
Hide. I've been working with leather a lot recently, and so hide.
I'd much rather wear wool.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Jesus. What?
Other people may experience it differently.
Okay. Like I knit with wool. But I'm not sure I'd say it's more comfortable ever.
Okay, so riddle me this then.
mm-hmm.
Wool pants or hide pants?
I mean, if I'm going to ground zero, probably hide. Oh. But more often than not, wool. Fair.
Fascinating.
But against the skin, I guess.
I have never had a leather kilt. But I have had a wool.
They did say pants. Like, specifically.
Oh, Senpai. Senpai said.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, kilts. They're the suit pants of the
Hebrides.
Yeah.
The outer Hebrides.
The outermost droplet of the outermost spray.
Outermost Hebrides.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I think I have some jackets that are wool jackets. I have some leather jackets, and I think the wool jackets are more comfortable. They've got a liner, so they're not scratchy. But even the leather jacket with the liner, because it's a motorcycle jacket, it's really good crash protection, but it sucks for retaining heat, which is kind of its job, is not to retain heat.
Mm-hmm.
Prevent wind burn and meat cranning. So,
what a great way to put that.
It's
well, yeah,
not my
I mean,
term.
Yeah, the leather motorcycle jacket is there to substitute the skin layer that gets torn asunder as you bite it on the earth.
Yeah.
I freaked out our child because I was making leather eyeballs. It's like the little dragon eyes that are on leather things and purses and notebooks and shit. I was practicing making the eyelid over the little eyeball, and then I put scales on them. I think they look really cool, but I left them in the bathroom to dry. And he said that it scared him or spooked him.
We are a little freaky. Yeah.
Our eyeballs, but they're specifically.
I was making eye contact with our sink this morning, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. So
I'm gonna say wool for this.
I'm still gonna say hide.
I've had two very long coats. One of them is my current suit dress coat, and I have. That suit dress coat, and it is a wool suit dress coat. It's very crisp and nice looking. When I was a teenage boy, I had a long.
When I was a teenage boy.
I found my older Burton appeal. It's entirely true. I cannot now imagine the smell of myself as a younger person. It's so gross to think of. I had a long leather coat.
I miss my longer, my duster. I still have it.
A nice brown.
I refuse to get rid of it because it's like. Soft leather, like glove leather, and the shoulders have ripped out of it, and I refuse to get rid of it because I will one day make it wearable by me again, and that will happen. Grr.
Definitely.
100%. So I'm not getting rid of it. I don't do that with everything, but that one I refuse. That's also why I'm like, oh, why would I want a wool one when I can have the hat?
I mean, there is that.
Because it's not always stiff.
Yeah. So, we've got a hide and two wools.
Mm.
High and two lows.
Huh.
Mm. Okay. Okay. All right. Fast five, question number five. Five, 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 five. Drawn.
Five, 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 five. Sorry.
Five, 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 five. Oh.
Finesse. Drawn or finesse?
Drawn or finesse?
Drawn or finesse? I've never seen a finesse bridge.
I guess
I've never finessed a sword.
I have.
In fact, when he was a young
did you take him out to dinner first?
I did. As a matter of fact,
kiss it first?
Aw. Jack, finesse me like one of your French girls.
Totally taking this seriously.
Yes, this is definitely a thing that we do that should be taken with the utmost gravitas. I think I am a lot more likely to draw something than to successfully finesse it. Yeah.
I mean, I disagree, but whatever.
Aw. Thanks, babe.
So you said draw.
Drawn with an N. Mm-hmm.
I think finesse, because of this. I mean, I've finessed the sword, right?
Yeah.
So, finessed.
Yeah. That's one of the things that we tell people at the booth regularly, is this is not, this is not like a big battle axe. This is a finesse weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Senpai.
I will go with drawn.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'd rather see... I can't imagine what finessed art looks like.
Oh, I think that's like a clay sculpture or a sand sculpture or even a snow sculpture.
Hmm.
I think that's,
just keep talking, Stefan Senpai. He'll stop eventually.
Hmm.
No, no. If anything, this podcast has proven that is not.
I was going to say the way that we're supposed to deal with Kohai when he's carrying on is just to ignore him.
Right. So you just got to keep talking.
Yeah. So, but you're going with the withdrawn.
Yeah.
And then Jax, you're going with finesse.
Finesse.
Also going withdrawn. Okay. Sure. All right. Now it is time for context. Fast five context. Number one, old or new? When traveling, do you prefer to see historic ruins or modern cities?
Ooh, old.
Yeah, same.
I was going to say, I mean, that like... entirely depends. Oh. But yeah, old. Some places I would rather see new, but a lot of places I would rather see old.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I was, seven years ago when I was I was doing some installation support
in
Poland.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to we flew in and out of Krakow, and I ended up with an extra day and to myself basically before I flew home, and I spent it wandering around the center of Krakow, which is actually the old city, which is all inside of an entire inside of an entire wall, and inside of that fortified wall is a giant plaza, as well as at the other end the castle. And so I was just able to wander around looking at all of that stuff, and it was real cool.
That's real neat.
Yeah, I'd much rather do that than the newer part of the city.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is a very difficult choice. When I was in Japan, I visited a lot of new arcades and things like that. I loved that. But I also visited the retro game shop Super Potato, which was incredible. Probably one of my most favorite things, apart from the giant fuck off castles. and those are old too. So I think old is the correct. Yeah.
I think art might be the exception to that. Because I would rather see new art oftentimes. There's a museum in St. Louis called the City Museum.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like an oddities, partial curiosity, partial playground, partial art, like museum. It was amazing. And it like you got to crawl through wires that were going through the ceiling and through the, like, it's so cool. I would rather see that than like another Renaissance painting from another white guy, like in England. You know.
Well, I think most of the Renaissance artists were from Italy.
Fair. But like also, it is a better proportion of folks of all backgrounds who do art and are promoted in art. Mm-hmm. So it's not just the men or the this or this one occasional writer. You know, it's more a little bit more balanced, at least.
Well, and one of the things that I have learned from playing Anthropium is that a huge amount of art that is not made out of pottery, stone, or like a couple of other metal, basically, almost everything else goes away unless it is very, very, very carefully preserved. All of that stuff goes away. And so in those circumstances, if you want to see textiles, if you want to see, you know, wooden structures or implements, things like that, in the grander scale, they can be very old, you know, they can be 400 years old. But the vast majority of recorded human history is much, much older than so those are relatively new. They're not modern, but they are not as antiquated as, you know, cuneiform tablets and things. So I think that's a really strong argument for new. Yeah. All right. So context for question number two. Rocks or fabrics, art-wise, do you prefer statues, sculptures, or painted canvas? Now, this could be modern or otherwise.
So it was rocks or what? Fabrics?
Yes. Do you painted canvases or sculptures?
I love a good sculpture because, like, I love... I did hand building in college. Well, and when I was an adult, but I did clay hand building, and I love just having so many details that I can touch and rub my hands over. And like, there are some stretch canvas and like fiber artists can, you know, fiber is an art as well. So that's a sculpture that is not clay or rock. But I love if I have a mug that was made by somebody with all of the possible details, and then I had the canvas with all the possible details, I think I'd like the mug.
Yeah. I've taken painting classes and I've taken sculpture classes, and I feel like I am more adept at expressing what I see in my head in a three-dimensional tactile space rather than with paints. I enjoy painting, but I feel like my painting is really amateurish. And that's okay. As long as you enjoy it, then whatever. But the I think that the I got my best grades in sculpture, so I'll go with that. So I got to change my answer from fabric to stone.
I'm gonna say fabric, because when you first said the context was painted textiles, I immediately thought of the Bayeux tapestry. The way that those medieval idiots drew cats is goddamn hilarious.
It's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. All right. Our next Fast Five context. High or low? Do you prefer Highland or Lowland Scotch? Highland Scotch like Glenmorangie, Dalmore, Tomatin, or Lowland Scotch, Auchentoshan, Glenkinchie. Is it Kinchie? Lindores.
This is Salsa's, right?
Yes.
Hey, Salsa. I don't know. I guess you're going to have to. You're going to have to give me some of both of those scotches. Scotch types. So
you
that
can tell the difference. Yeah.
I can tell the difference. Yeah, no, I just.
It's highly important for science.
Truly, we need to do science about it. So I'm sorry I can't answer your Fast Five until I have at least a couple samples from each group. So to like make a educated choice.
That's
and then Salsa's going to say, fair. I never said anything about educated. Yeah. And then I'm
that's
not going to
get. Very true.
Scotch, mm-hmm. but I want it. Anyway.
No, what he'll do is drink the scotch and then describe it to you. So
that's that so is, bad. That's what no, got me. Is that...
I'm going to be an asshole and say Speyside actually is the scotch that I like, so it's neither.
That
is that like the one answer. Brand?
No, Speyside is a kind.
I thought there was
type.
There might be a brand called Speyside as well.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's mostly. I believe it's more peaty, because it was made down. It was made around the island. The islands.
Yeah, uh-huh.
The islands of the lowlands.
Is it Islay? The name of the. Expression and or the name of the like distillation technique and the area.
I have no idea.
Possibly,
because it's spelled Islay, but mm-hmm. I know Lagavulin is one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
I love Lagavulin,
and it is that's an Islay, it's got a really good depth and breadth. And is smoky. It has a little bit of a peat after sense to it, aftertaste to it, but it's not overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
It is amazing to sip. It is just like it's when I think of what an enjoyable scotch should be like. That smooth alcoholic, not nail polishy,
mm-hmm.
Like some of the, especially the when I think of like Tomatin, I think of something that's got that like acetone bite to it, and I don't enjoy that.
Acetone is nail polish remover, just so you know.
Yes, nail polish remover is what I'm thinking of.
Thank yes.
Excellent. I would say, given a choice between high and low, I would choose low. But given a choice between any, I would say Lagavulin.
Mm. Yeah, I don't think that I've had enough.
Enough scotch
high
to
or
know.
Low to
yeah.
really distinguish.
We might have to see if we can get in on one of Dan's classes.
Mm.
Because he's got that whole cabinet full of extraordinarily rare scotches, and he's here are the three or four that we're gonna have tonight, and then here are the cheese pairings and the
and the chocolate pairing.
Flibbantastic. Yeah.
Mm.
So,
yeah, we're just going to have to do more science about it.
Mm. Oh, all right. So, question for context. I agreed. Science is important. Question number four, context, hide or wool, which would you be more excited to see in Scotland? Sheep or a Highland coo?
Oh, a Highland coo.
They're so flippin' cute.
They're just adorable.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I spend most of my time just being a Highland cow. So,
yeah. Highland Park Middle School and High School, they have the Highlander, quote unquote, as their mascot. And they're like, I don't understand why it's not the Highland cows. They're adorable. So there's been an unofficial, like, no, not our not our mascot. subtle replacement of the Highland coo as their mascot.
I reject your mascot and replace it with my own.
Yes, correct. Mm-hmm. And it is a better mascot than some guy on bagpipes that has no relevance, like, to anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, plus, you can't have a team of Highlanders. There can be only one.
Oh.
Oh.
But yeah, I would say cow.
Yeah.
Is cow. This one, do I get to be the one to say get out instead of Jenna? Like, is that my role today? Get out.
All right. And finally, fast five, question number five, context.
Ding.
Drawn or finesse? If time was limited and you could only see one at a Highland Games in Scotland, which would you rather watch? The athletic events like the caber toss, the shot put, kettlebell toss, or the dance competition? That's a wild, wild question.
Oh, man. Dance competition.
Dance competition is really good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if we're traveling back in time, dance competition. Mm-hmm. If we're talking about, like, Shepherd's Green on the Scotland weekend, the Irish weekend, then... Mm-hmm. I would say the toss, yeah, because we have our own cottage games. So instead of tossing like a log, we'll find a small twig or a branch to do ourselves. And so it's always fun. And then I get to yell at people when they steal our benches.
Mm. Yeah, as
they
you
set me loose on them.
Mm-hmm. Given a choice to see either one, I'm so much more tempted by the one that I can kind of armchair quarterback. Because, you know, watching the dance, you're like, yes, this is beautiful, and they did a fantastic job, and those swords are cool. And, it's very highly technical in... a way that, like, my non-kinesthetic brain goes like blue screens.
I've seen it happen.
I am a terrible dancer.
No, you're a beginner dancer. There's a difference.
And I, no matter how much experience I have, I would always be a beginner dancer. I feel like if I spent a year picking up tree trunks, I could compete. Of those two. I don't, yeah. Although I think that it would be a fucking spectacular event for them to do cross promotions between the two and have the dancers tossing like little wee cabers.
Like the cottage games. Hey, yes. I just told you about that. Oh my god.
And then,
is this how Jenna feels all the time?
Yes.
Well, just then, when they mention garlic and onions.
Yes.
The laws of thermodynamics.
But then have the athletics games folks do the dance competition as well.
Mm.
And I, like, 100% And it's kind of like the idea that I've seen memed a million times, which is just like, I think that all Olympic Games should have one regular human.
Well, so, they did with
so that the you can
dance one. They tried that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they did. Ooh,
they tried yeah, that.
That is a...
You mean like regular human Shia LaBeouf?
Shia LaBeouf?
Yes. Yeah.
I love that. I love that's the cool story of that.
Yeah, the story behind that is magnificent. So yes, I think the Athletic Games, cause you can, oh yeah, no, that landed too far away. It's not 12. It's a good distance, but the angle on it is, it's all wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Now with that,
you can pretend to be normal and not a theater kid. You mean?
It's one of the few things like that. And monster trucks are kind of, where I, but like, I mean, with sports and things like that, like I, mm-hmm. when I'm watching it, I enjoy it. And
sports ball,
I really like, I like watching hockey. I would be terrible at that. I like watching baseball. I'd be fucking miserable at baseball. I football, I would be killed instantly. but I enjoy watching it.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. Really? I don't go out of my way is the thing. I go out of my way for hockey. Mm-hmm. I go out of my way to watch
especially hockey. Especially when there we have the Frost as our home team.
Yes. Absolutely. I don't go as far out of my way as Salsa does. Salsa is someone that I would consider to be like a major hockey fan. I am a casual hockey fan. And that's kind of the thing is like I watch stuff when it's on and enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not buying a season pass.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not like I don't know how to get it on my TV.
Mm. Well, I would say in response to that, the thing about the dance competition is you also get to listen to the music.
Unless there's music going during the other events.
No, during the caber toss, you just hear the hooting and hollering of the crowd.
There's
that. I mean, really. Far as we've experienced.
Mm.
I wonder if it would, I don't want to subject bagpipers to like physical harm, but maybe part of it should be that they have to like not get hit by the caber. The idea is funnier than the actuality, I think, is mm-hmm. the problem. I don't recommend this. I don't want to actually see it, but I am enjoying.
As his internal like graphic novel turns from a slapstick into a horror, like Full Metal Alchemist, and you're like, ooh, maybe we. I was kidding.
It goes from Looney Tunes to anime.
Mm-hmm.
My Hero, yeah. Sure,
yeah.
Sure. But that's I would pick the games. But I like both. But if I had to pick, I would probably pick the games.
Hmm.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Salsa, for sending us a Fast Five all the way from the
outermost side of the outermost Hebrides.
But a good stone's throw across the pond. Yeah, we'll go with that. Thank you, Salsa, for that. Does anybody have any shout outs?
I do.
Any nice things to say for somebody? Yes. Yeah. Go ahead.
I want to shout out Melissa Kershaw.
Aww,
she is taking a big swing at being the head tech for Jenna's IP house at the Phoenix, the Butterfly Collective thing.
Wow.
Yeah. So, she's going to be the lead tech for that. And
amazing.
I'm going to go and spend the first three evenings next week, being, you know, moral support, as she does all the tech through and programming the light board and whatever soundboard needs.
Rad.
There are for the shows.
Nice.
Thank you. My shout out is to the organizers, staff, and volunteers of the Fringe Festival, who are about to put in an absolutely almighty effort to put on some, you know, 100 and more stage plays over the course of a little more than a week. That's crazy. That's crazy pants. And we appreciate it a lot. So thank you to everybody, including Melissa, who I gasped, overjoyed when I found out that Melissa was going to be our tech. That's amazing. Yeah, she's great. So, and then Jax.
Shout out to self-diagnosed neurospicers. One thing that we get a lot with Minprov is people being like, well, I'm not actually diagnosed. And it's like, no. Come on, come join us. You know, because we have mixers for adults on Zoom on Wednesdays and in person on Thursdays. But it's so hard not to have somebody tell you, yes, you have ADHD or yes, you have autism. So I want to shout out self-diagnoses.
Yeah. It's the first step.
Yep. Sometimes it's the only step. And you know what? Well, and what I tell people with ADHD who suspect they have ADHD, I'm like, if you don't want the drugs, don't bother getting the paper. But anyway, it's up to each individual person.
Yeah. And for me, there isn't really a medication that can make my life easier. But it does help with ADA, and it also
that's true. Yeah,
to better understand, it can be really useful. It all depends on the person, like you said. So, does anybody have anything to plug coming up?
Minprov.org.
We'll put it in the notes.
Yeah. Come to our fundraiser and or just our shows. We have a lot of fun. Please, 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 thank you.
Senpai, anything to plug?
The Butterfly Collective thing at the Phoenix. Yeah. It sounds like a really fantastic, like, overall theming for the venue, and I hope that enough people go and see it that it warrants happening a second time.
Yeah. And I believe, speaking of shouting out volunteers and plugging the social the Butterfly Project, there are ways to get free tickets to get in, and it is volunteering to run box office, if we're still looking for volunteers for that, volunteers for other things possibly. There are places to check. I will link those things in the notes, because that can be a really good way to see a show, is you just run the box office and then get a comp. And if not for us and our five shows, then Fringe is always looking for more volunteers. They really, really do need them. So thank you to those who do, and you're welcome to those who don't, I guess. So that being said, thank you to our guests, Jax and Stefan Senpai. Thank you to Salsa for sending in a fast five from all the way across the pond. And thank you, dear listeners, for tuning in. I have a lot less practice with this part of the show. On behalf
of
I was going to say, on behalf of myself and Salsa and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
Come here, my rubber orangutan. Let me feel your nipples.